Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Reading together from verse 25. Judges 6, verse 25, please. Judges 6, 25. Let's hear the word of God. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that is Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who have done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, have done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he have cast down the altar of Baal, and because he have cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye see of him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one have cast down his altar. Therefore in that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we come now to consider what the Lord would say to us this morning again from this portion. And let's all just take a moment here in the quietness of your heart, dear brother, dear sister. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us and reveal his mind to us for this meeting. Almighty God and Father in heaven, the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, again we draw near to thy throne in prayer. And by the blood of Christ we approach. We thank thee for that blood that brings us nigh. And at this juncture in the meeting we stand into the victory of the cross. We thank thee right now at thy right hand. Christ is pleading the merits of his blood and the triumph of that cross. And therefore, O God, we stand by faith into that victory. We pray that all that's said and done from now on in this meeting will be in the victory of the cross. Bind the devil and all demonic influence. Paralyze the powers of darkness. Let the sacred blood of Christ prevail over this gathering. And may thy will be done in every heart. God, glorify your Son. Glorify thy great name. Give the fullness of the Spirit in this meeting. And I confess my inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Take from me now anything that will hinder. Empty me of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. And let thy name be glorified. In this meeting, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We return again this morning to Judges chapter 6. This is the third message that I have prepared on Gideon, the man of God. The first day that we looked at Gideon, we looked at his call. His call to the service of the work of God, how God had called him to that service. Gideon had set up an altar then, and God met with him there. The last time we looked at Gideon, we noticed that the call was past, and the service was about to begin. We saw how the Lord had given Gideon direction. In this time, there had been this communion between God and Gideon, and God had directed his servant. He was given a challenge by God to pull down the altars of Baal in his father's house. We noted also that Gideon's worship was to be according to truth. It was to be in a reverent manner. And we saw that really his behavior was to be Christ-like, as indeed we all are to be like. Now, though we didn't get to it the last time, I want to go back there this morning and look with you further at this challenge that Gideon was given about this altar of Baal. You see, men and women, whenever a man or woman gets saved and comes to Christ, there is a most striking statement made about that individual in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to turn there just one moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19 and 20. Because Gideon realizes from the moment he is now saved, that from that moment on, until he enters glory, he's no longer his own man. He's God's man. And every believer in this meeting, from the moment you got saved, to you enter heaven, you're God's. You're his servant in the area he has placed you. You are God's. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 19. Let's see what it says there. Paul's really reminding the Corinthians of this truth. He's speaking to these believers. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. A price has been paid. A price has been paid for us. And from that moment, you and I are God's property. Now let that encourage us this morning, right at the very outset of this message. You're the Lord's. Christ bought you. He bought you body and soul from your slavery of sin. He did it at the cross. And now, from the moment of your conversion to glory, you're his servant. You're his property. You're his. He's purchased you, paid for you at Calvary, until he takes you home to heaven. You're a servant, not a slave. You are his servant. You're a servant of God. Gideon here in Judges 6 is the servant of God, doing the work of God. And this morning I want to go back here, as I've said, to Judges 6 and just continue this study. And I've just entitled this message, Gideon's Challenge and Its Lessons. Gideon's Challenge and Its Lessons. You see, we're going to go through Gideon's life. We're going to do a little character study here for a few more weeks, I think. And we're going to see from Gideon's life, we're going to see what would be commendable. That we want to follow. We're maybe going to see some things that aren't just so commendable that we want to avoid. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Gideon. We're going to look at his dealings under God and how God led this man. And may the Lord bless us through this study of Gideon. Now let's go back again to the challenge of Gideon. Let's go back to Judges 6. The challenge of Gideon was marked by obedience. That's the first thing I want you to see. Let's remind ourselves of what the challenge was. Look at verse 25 where we began to read this morning. Judges 6, 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. Now we looked at last week at what that Baal was, Baal worship. We saw what that was. Elijah came up against it. But what about that statement there at the end of verse 25? Cut down the grove that's by it. What is that? Well, that is referring to a Canaanite idol. You know what represented? It represented the goddess of nature. The goddess of nature. These people that worship nature, it's no new thing. That's what that grove. It's an unbelievable scene. Whenever you think at the end of chapter 5, they had 40 years rest. God had blessed. Now Baal's been worshipped. Now they're worshipping nature. And God said to Gideon, get them cut down. Get them cut down. Get them removed. And I want you to note that the challenge was marked by obedience. The challenge was marked by obedience. Because look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. The key phrase is, and did as the Lord had said unto him. That's the key phrase. Did as the Lord had said unto him. What did the Lord say to him? Take, throw down, cut down. Deal with that. And then build an altar. And then offer sacrifice. You see, there's always, as we saw that last Sabbath, there's always God's order in it. It's always take away, cut down, get rid of the sin first, then build the altar, then worship me. It's always that order. It's that order in salvation, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that order in restoration, put away the sin, then come back. It's that order. Gideon's was marked by obedience. He cuts down, he takes away, and he offers sacrifice. The order. Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. The challenge was marked by obedience. He did what God asked. Now remember what we're doing here. We're learning the lessons. You see, dear people, failure in Gideon's part here to do what God asked at this juncture brings a pause in his progress and life of service. Had Gideon failed in this one to do what God had asked him to do, there would be no moving on to the next step. Because we walk with God, as God gives us light, we obey it, and then we continue to walk on. When the Lord asks a believer to do something, there's no such thing as not doing it and moving on to something else. That's really classically seen in the life of Jonah. Go to Jonah with me. The book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Gideon has made a great start. This challenge has been marked by obedience. But look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord come unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. You know what happened? Jonah went the other way. He disobeyed the Lord. He got shipwrecked. He ended up in the bottom of the sea in a fish's belly until the fish vomits him out onto dry land. And all that time was wasted. After he came out of the fish's belly, did the Lord say, well, we'll move on to something else. Well, you were disobedient in that one, Jonah, but we'll leave that. We'll move on to something else. No. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. You don't move on to something else. That's why when a backslider returns to the Lord, they retrace their steps to where they left off. And the minute Jonah gets right again with God and his backsliding heals, is healed, he comes back to the Lord and the Lord doesn't give him a new job. He doesn't give him a new commission. He says, Jonah, arise, go on to Nineveh and preach against it. Oh yes, all the time was wasted. But the same word comes. But Gideon here, Gideon's challenge is marked by obedience. He immediately does it. Then Gideon, verse 27, took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. Let's look at something else about Gideon's obedience. It was marked by fear. We're noticing this about this man. Let's go to Judges chapter 6, verse 27. Judges 6, 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. He did it by night. Now, I want you to see here that the Lord shows us something. The Lord puts that little bit in that verse. The Lord could just have told us, Gideon did it by night. But the Lord tells us why he did it by night. He said he was fearful. He was fearful of the men of the city. But I want you to understand, God didn't condemn him for that. God does not condemn his people for being timorous or fearful. Gideon is one of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. And yet God shows us that Gideon was a fearful man. God just asked Gideon to do something, and Gideon did it. And dear people, we must never have wrong views of God. God is gracious. God doesn't look for our slightest faults. He shows us here, here's a man that was fearful. God doesn't condemn him for it. God says he was an obedient man. He was an obedient man. The challenge was marked by obedience, but it was also marked by fear. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. And I want just to speak to the Lord's people here a minute and encourage your heart. Sometimes when we feel the Lord, we have this slavish fear of God. And it's not right. It's not right. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Look there. And then that day, underline this verse in your Bible. Thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou was angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. And dear people, that verse takes us right to Calvary. It takes us right to the cross. God's anger towards sinners, those that repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ, is turned away forever. It's turned away forever. There is no wrath for the child of God. Isaiah 12:1 is telling us, because of Calvary, though thou was angry with me, yet thine anger is turned away. God's anger was turned away at Calvary. You see, this really came into my heart this week. It could just be that someone here in this meeting has had a bad week. We all know what that's like. Hasn't really lived the way they should. We all know what that's like. Maybe stumbled and fell. Maybe fallen badly. I want you to understand, God's anger is turned away from you. God loves you every bit as much this Sunday as he loved you last Sunday. I want you to understand that. That is the basis that you can come back to the Lord on. God's love is not determined, and I've said this before, on how you performed in your Christian service this week. Where would that leave us if that was the grounds for God's love? Where would that leave us? Turn with me to Psalm 103. Now we're coming back to Isaiah 12, but just turn with me to Psalm 103 a moment. Psalm 103. Here's David writing. Look at verse 8. I defy any man to read this and tell me that God has hardened his people, or God would cast off his people. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God is slow to chide and quick to bless, dear people. But dear believer, if the devil can get us to have a wrong view of God, he will make you miserable. He will make you miserable. And he'll keep you down, and he'll hammer you down, and he will not let you get up. Dear people, when we feel the Lord, what we do is immediately we get up, we go back to our Father, and we tell him all about it, because we realize that he loves us still. He loves us every bit as much as he loved us before we fell. Understand this, dear believer. Listen to me. God will not love you one atom more when you are in heaven, sinlessly perfect,
worshiping Him forevermore. He will not love you then one atom more than He loved you this week when you were failing Him. He can't love you more. Because the basis of God's love for us, His failing children, is not our performance. It's the work of Christ.
And yes, He will love us for all eternity. And He will love us, yes, when we are sinlessly perfect. And He will love us, yes, when we are in His presence in heaven for all the countless ages of eternity. But He will not love us more than He loves us now. No way. Because He loves us in Christ. He loves us. And the basis for that love is the work of Christ. It is not all our feeble efforts to live the Christian life. And dear believer, if you have failed the Lord this week, and we all have, you realize this right now. That God will not love you more in heaven when you will never sin Him against Him again than He loves you right at this moment. Dear backslider in this meeting, far from God in this meeting, and you know it, God does not love you less today than He loved you when you were walking with Him. God will not love you more in heaven when you're sinlessly perfect than He loves you at this moment. And let that truth, may it even just break you now. And may with that realization in your soul, may you flee back to Christ. What a doctrine is our union with Christ. God is well pleased with Christ. And in Christ, God is well pleased with you. God does not love Christ more than He loves you. He doesn't. He loves you every bit as much as He loves Christ. All our failings, all our backslidings, oh, think about it. The way we reason things out, you see, we would work it out that God would love us more in eternity when we weren't sinning, when we weren't letting Him down, than He loves us now. That's because we think of love on our own terms. God will love us forever in glory. But He loves us to get there too. Irrespective of our performance. And I'm not here making light of sin this morning, you understand that. But I am here to encourage God's people. Because this did come unto my heart, that maybe one here has had a bad week. I know what that's like, and I think we all do. But when you realize that this week's performance or efforts at living the Christian life is not the basis for God loving you, you right now in your heart can cry, Father. I made a mess this week. But You love me still. I'm sorry for this week. But You love me as much today as You love me in heaven. And dear backslider, today far from God, you can come home right now on that basis. God doesn't love one Christian in this meeting more than you because He doesn't love Christ more than you. Would that not make you flee to Him again? Knowing that He's there to receive you. Just like the prodigal looked at home, the Father was waiting. Dear backslider, dear believer, let that encourage you this morning. Don't let the devil trample you down with wrong views of God. All your sin cannot make God not your Father. Because the blood of Christ made Him your Father. And the work of Calvary for you is not about to be erased by a few mistakes you made this week.
Be what you are in Christ. Enjoy what you are in Christ. And when we all fail, as we all do, get up and go back to your Father and tell Him what you did.
And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn with me to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Verse number 8. Here's a believer that has fallen. Micah 7, verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Oh, dear people, see it. Yes, the devil does rejoice, and he taunts us, and he roars in our ear when we fail the Lord. But this dear man of God is saying, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall, because I'll arise. God will see to it. God will lift me up again. God will use me again. Let's go now to Hosea 12. Hosea chapter 12. Sorry, Hosea 14. Hosea chapter 14. Hosea 14. Verse 1. Look at that. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. See the word thy? You see that? O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Israel's backsliding did not change the fact that God was their God.
And again, dear friend, in this meeting, your backsliding hasn't changed the fact that God is your God.
And He says to you, return unto the Lord thy God. Let's read on. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The Lord just shows them what had happened. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. But look what the Lord says. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously.
The Lord gives them the words to say. And there are people in this meeting this morning who are far from God.
The Lord has given you the very words to pray to Him. Look at verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Remember what we saw in Isaiah 12. For mine anger is turned away from them.
You see that? God is speaking here of a backslidden people.
But His anger is turned away from them. Because Calvary guaranteed it.
Because God's anger and wrath was propitiated at Calvary.
And the Lord says, as He said through Isaiah, mine anger is turned away from Him. But look what the Lord promises. Look at verse number 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. See the whole saying? Come back to the Lord. Bring with you these words. My iniquity has done this. My sin has done this. I've only myself to blame for the state I'm in. But look what the Lord says in verse number 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. Now, what does dew do in Israel? Israel is a hot, hot climate. The dew waters the ground in Israel. And the dew causes growth in Israel. Look what he says. I will be as the dew unto Israel. Dear friend, in this meeting, what the Lord is telling you is this. You put away your backsliding. You come back to the Lord. He will water you again.
And you will grow again. And look at what else it says.
He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. The greatest tree in Israel is the cedar of Lebanon. Its roots go down so deep that it doesn't matter what the storm that batters it, you can't blow down a cedar of Lebanon. And God has given the backslider that promise. Put away your sin. My anger is turned away. I love you as much today as I loved you when I saved you. I'll water you again. You'll grow again. Your roots will go down deep. I'll make you strong, never to be blown down. Oh, dear backslider, read these words of love from your God. Read these words of love from your Father. And as I said when I started this little bit, don't have wrong views of God. There's no scriptural basis for them. God's love is turned away. Calvary guarantees it. We must move on. Gideon's service was marked, go back to Judges 6, by obedience. It was marked by fear. But I want you to notice it was also marked by success. It was marked by success. Look with me at verse number 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day. Listen, that he did it by night. He did it by night. God gave him success in what God asked him to do. And dear people, if God is asking you to do something and right at this moment you're timorous, God doesn't hold that against you. He doesn't hold that against you. We've already seen that. God will see you through in it and grant you success in it. God never asked anybody to do anything that he didn't give them success in doing it. That was no easy job for Gideon to do. Let me tell you. Not one bit easy. You read it. Everybody in the city was against him. And he'd have known that. But he who asked him to do it saw him through it. God only asks us to be obedient. Leave the success of it to God. Just be you obedient. And the thought is that Gideon received all the grace that he needed to be obedient. He received all the grace he needed to be successful. He received the grace. And dear men and women, we have an inexhaustible fountain of grace, a reservoir of grace to draw from day by day, morning by morning. John 1 put it like this: of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You see, this is Gideon's moment. What on earth would we have done if the Lord had never put in Scripture that these men were fearful? I was in the home the other week and I was talking to somebody. And that's what I was saying to them. I am so glad that the Lord said to Abram, "Fear not." That meant Abram was afraid. I am so glad that the Lord said to Moses, "Fear not." That meant Moses was afraid. He said to Paul, "Fear not, I'll be with you." He said to Gideon, "Fear not, surely I'll be with thee." Because the Lord shows us they were but men, as we are, fearful men, but the sufficiency of the grace was of God. The sufficiency of the grace was of God. That was what gave the victory. You see, God says in his word, "I am the Lord. I will not give my glory unto another." Gideon had no room to glory there. He was fearful. God gave him grace to be successful. God helped him. Now I want you to turn to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. You see, as I said the first week I dealt with this, this was Gideon's moment. This was Gideon's moment. And the Lord had to say to the church of Corinth, receive not the grace of God in vain. All you need is there to live the Christian life. But look with me at Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Well-known verse. We'll remind ourselves of it again. I spoke on it one night in the prayer meeting. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. And now for a little space. That word in the Hebrew, it means moment. It means instant. And I want you to tell you what the setting is in Ezra. Ezra 9 is the turning point in the history of Israel at this time. They're on the verge of reformation. And Ezra's getting them ready. And he says, now for a little instant, for a little moment, grace have been showed from the Lord our God. Grace has been given to them. But I want you to see what that word means, instant, moment. Let's tie it in like this. We have made announcements this morning. Soon, dear Sunday school teacher, the children will be back round your knee. Soon, youth leader, the youth will gather again in that little room on a Friday night. Soon, dear man or woman, in fact, tomorrow you'll be back in the factory floor or the office or the hospital or wherever your day takes you. But God is telling you here, where you are, He's given you a moment. This instant that you have to serve Him. Youth leader, Sunday school teacher, give yourself to it again. They're on the verge of reformation, and Ezra is emphasizing to them, they have but a moment, but an instant. And dear people, I want you to see that. Just an instant to serve your Christ. Just an instant to serve your God. Just an instant to make the most of the fullness of grace that He's given you. And all He asked is this, that you be obedient. The Lord knows we're timorous. The Lord knows we all get fearful, nervous, and every other name you want to describe about us. But the Lord just asked us, be obedient. Because in Christ, there is a sufficiency of this grace. There's the sufficiency of grace to do what God asks you to do. Gideon here. Gideon here, obedient to God, and God grants him this success. Now the challenge of this, going back to Judges chapter 6, is this. What we have seen in this meeting this morning, we've seen a man who was fearful. We've seen a man who was obedient, and we've thought of the times when we're not obedient. We've thought of this moment that God gave Gideon, this instant to serve him. But the question is this, dear believer, dear backslider, what are you going to do with the moment God's given you? What are we going to do with this moment? This is as much applied to me as it is to you. I've been given an instant. You've been given an instant. Where your day has you, God has you. That's the way you look at it. Where your day takes you tomorrow morning, that's where God takes you. To labor where He has you. And He's given you this instant. But He's telling you here, as He shows us Gideon, this fearful man, He'll grant you the success you need. But you've got to be obedient. As God gives you light, follow the light. That's what Gideon did. Started off with a time of communion. God told him what to do. He got this light. He moved in the light, as I showed you. If he hadn't moved in that light, he wouldn't have got any more. He did move in that light. And dear believer, that's how you do it. As God gives you light, you go on. When you do that step, seek more light. Seek more light, and God will give you it. I have our 6 pages here, but we're just going to leave it. What about you in this meeting unsaved? What about you in this meeting unsaved that right at this moment are in darkness? Spiritual darkness. You say, preacher, has God given me light this morning? Yes.
He's given you right now gospel light.
Repent, believe the gospel. Flee to Christ. Because if a believer's instant and moment ends right now in this meeting, they're for heaven. But dear unsaved in this gathering, if your instant ends like that, you have perished.
Yes, you're getting light all right, and you're not getting anything more until you move on it.
Because walking with God begins with this gospel light. Repent, believe the gospel. Get to Calvary that we saw in Hosea 14, that we saw in Isaiah 12, where God's anger was turned away. Because if you never ever get to Calvary, God's anger is not turned away from you. God's wrath, and I say this reverently, God's wrath is hovering over your head. And if your instant ends, that wrath is falling. And it will fall on you forever. And there will never be a moment in your life, in your eternity, when you will be able to say what those verses say, God's anger is turned away. Because it's never going to be turned away. God's holy fury was only ever turned away at Calvary. And was only ever turned away from all who flee to Calvary. You need Christ this morning. You need Christ. And in the will of God, we will return to this next week and look at this idolatry. And see the lessons there, because there are lessons. And let me just say this in closing, and this is where we're going next week, in the will of the Lord. Idolatry is devil worshipping. And multitudes of our town people worshipped the devil this morning in idolatry. And we will go back to that next Lord's Day in the will of God. Because it's our duty, as it was Gideon's duty, and we're going to see that. Gideon was told to go against his father's practice, not his father's person. And we need to see those people in this town delivered from devil worshipping. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, you've given us a moment and an instant to serve you. Consciously now before thee, we take the promised Holy Ghost. Fill every servant of thine in this meeting redeemed with blood. And for that moment that you've given us, fill us and use us. Bring the backslider home, Lord. Thank God your love hasn't diminished. Our love diminishes all the time. Your love never diminishes. Save the sinner. And equip us as a church to take the torch and wave it wide. Answer prayer in the Saviour's name. Amen.